All right, so next we move to our next major movement here. Bowen Bowman tells us that apologetics faces skepticism, right? So until the post-Reformation period, most Europeans took Christianity for granted, and the major religious debates were primarily intra-Christian, right? Disputes about the meaning of specific key terms of the faith and of salvation and that sort of thing. But the 17th century saw the rise of religious skepticism that challenged the very truth of the Christian faith. So this skepticism led to new developments in apologetics now that we'll begin to see and will spread now into our own modern era.
Right. So still dealing with paganism, still dealing with Roman Catholics, still dealing with Islam. And now to heap on to those people that want to say that God doesn't even exist. So now you got to go all the way back to square one to deal with that, right? Well, in his classic work, Thoughts, the French Catholic mathematician and apologist, Blaise Pascal from 1623 to 1662, rejected the traditional rational arguments for God's existence and emphasized the personal, relational aspects involved in a non-Christian coming to faith in Jesus Christ. He was one of the first apologists to argue that apologetics should take into account the differences among people. So he's, you know, here's your psychology aspect to Christianity here. Christians who would defend the faith must seek to show that it was not irrational and it was great news if it is true. And in fact, it can be proved to be true. So you do have a positive approach with Pascal as well.
Right. Good. Yeah. And so, you know, here's the issue, though. Despite the eloquence of the debt and depth, by the way, of Pascal's thoughts, right, his peonies, his approach to defense of the faith was to remain, quite frankly, a minority report. Natural science, through such giants as Galileo and Newton and that and those folks, achieved major breakthroughs during the 17th century and revolutionized our view of the world. And so in the wake of these developments, most apologetics for the next three centuries understood the apologetic task as primarily one of showing notice the scientific credibility of the Christian faith. And more broadly, apologetics became focused on providing empirical evidence, whether scientific or historical, in support of the Christian faith. So we had this huge movement as a result of the scientific revolution.
Right. And Pascal is way more depth to him than just his wager that that we all like to talk about.
To bet on, yeah, that's right.
Well, the classical work of apologetics in an empirical mode was Joseph Butler's book, The Analogy of Religion, Natural and Revealed to the Constitution and Course of Nature, which
Yeah,
was
those guys had a mouthful of their titles with their books.
Yeah, print by the word. The poor typesetters. Oh, man. Well, and that was published in 1736. But Butler, who existed from 1692 to 1752, so again, we're getting closer to that modern age, an Anglican bishop sought to defuse the objections to Orthodox Christian faith posed by deists who favored a purely natural religion that was in principle available to all people in all times and places that could be proved by reason. So, you know, a general God exists, and this may be the blind watchmaker who orders the world, sure, but he's definitely not there. And so he's wind up the watch, he's set it out, which is the universe, and he's walked away. And so now it's up to us to live correctly and rightly, and we can come up with our own ideas of what is chivalry and good ethics. But it's definitely not the God out there who has a specific revelation for us, but only kind of this general aspect to a God.
Right. And so Butler argued in response to this that the intellectual difficulties found by these deists in believing that the Christian revelation have an, you know, just revealed a God who was kind of out there somewhat, right? He argued that the Christian revelation had analogies in our knowledge of the natural world. his use of analogies, right? So comparing one thing with another was not intended to prove either that God exists or that Christianity was true, but merely that it was not unreasonable to believe in the Christian revelation. And so throughout his book, Butler's approach was empirical, right? He looked at empirical evidence, the facts of the world and that sort of thing, focused on those things, right? Facts and evidence. And the conclusions were couched in terms of probability, right? And so right. This was a probabilistic approach.
Right. And again, as we go through this portion of the chapter, see what we're emphasizing as far as the types of evidences and the type of outcomes that that each of these guys are coming up with. Some are saying, no, we can't know. Others are saying, in relation to with both reason and faith, we can know. And the others are saying, no, it's only first through revelation that comes about. And then through reason, can we come to understanding? And there are people that that are saying, oh, well, the evidence will show a probability of God existing through the evidence. And so, again, what our authors are doing is prepping us to get our ducks in a row when it comes to the four different overviews of apologetic methods. And so we're seeing that play out in history, and it's not just one era, one time period, one belief system of the proper way to go. It's people have different emphases that are coming about and how they're responding and what they're responding to that might be formulating it. So hopefully you have been paying attention to that. If not, you can always go back and we do short clips of these things so that you can go back and you can say, okay, what version did Pascal believe, or how about Aquinas, or how was he different to Calvin? And so you can go back more easily and do that. But also the chapter breaks are in the descriptions as well. And so you can find that at YouTube and all the different places as well.